Hi, Lynn. Yeah, it's true. I'm here for my journal with the 7 steps to awakening. And in fact, let me go ahead and copy and paste this first link for you, assuming I can do that this week. Yay, it works. It's a lot easier when the copy and paste works. For some reason, I'm sure you remember that wasn't working for like 2 or 3 weeks, and it spontaneously quit working. And then it spontaneously started working again. So I don't know what happened there. I didn't get anything fixed, but it's nice to have it working again, the copy and paste. It makes life a lot easier. Tonight we are beginning with quote number 597. For those who are listening on the radio, the website is RDA 7 Steps Journal. And the 7 is a digit. It's not spelled out. rda7stepsjournal.wordpress.com. And when you get to the website, you can just click on step 3 on the menu bar and then select the numbering sequence that will allow you to find your way to 597, because 597 is where we're going to begin today. I'm reading from step 3 in the 7 Steps to Awakening, which is a book of quotes put together by Michael Langford. And I'm on quote number 597, which is in the section of the book, which is the Nisargadatta Maharaj quotes. And what I'd like to do before we get started is just take a moment of silence. So if y'all would join me, I would appreciate that. Thank you. Amen. All right, so I'm going to begin by reading quote number 597 from the book, The 7 Steps to Awakening, and then after that we'll go and look at my journal. So here's the quote. I know myself as I am in reality. I am neither the body, nor the mind, nor the mental faculties. I am beyond all these. I know myself as I am in reality. I am neither the body, nor the mind, nor the mental faculties. I am beyond all these. All right, looking at my journal then, number 597. It looks like as I contemplated this, I was led into inquiry. What am I? Am I this body? Am I limited to this little life it lives between birth and death? Do I mature and grow old? Or am I that which is present without maturing and without growing old? As the brain ages and begins to fail, do I age and begin to fail? Or am I constant, observing the change in brain without thought about it? Am I whatever thoughts are present now? Thousands of thoughts come and go each day. Can I find myself in anything as fleeting as thoughts? What is not the body and yet is I? What is not the thoughts and yet is I? What is beyond any faculty of brain and yet is present as I? Ignore everything that is not this always present I that is not called I by thought. Do not be deceived by body, thoughts, or brain functions. Stay focused on always present I, beyond all that changes and is temporary. Stay with self. one fortunate thing that happened to me sometime after I moved to Pueblo. Maybe 4 years or so it began to happen. Was that my brain began to not work like it always had before. I've always experienced myself as a pretty sharp lady, able to think through things easily, come to reasonable conclusions. And what began to happen sometime after I moved to Pueblo is that my...
Regina, the mic.
Oh, shoot. Let's see. It looks like I still had the mic. So let's see. I'll probably have to leave the room. But let's try this. Are you able to hear me now? I know. Okay, good. Okay, I don't know what happened. I still had the mic from my point of view. But we know that Pal Talk does these strange things. So what I was saying was that sometime after I moved to Pueblo, my brain stopped working in the way that it always had. I literally became much less sharp. In fact, I don't know what to say about it. Danielle, do you want to talk about my brain? What happened to it?
Well, she says horse, but she means trailer.
Okay, thank you. She said, for example, I would say horse, but I meant trailer. And what she means by that is like when Jasmine was learning to drive one day, we were driving down this dirt road. We weren't on a real road because Jasmine wasn't that experienced yet. So we were on this deserted dirt road and there was this big hole in the road and she was just starting to pick up speed and I didn't want her to hit that hole in the road hard. And so I pointed and yelled, light! And Jasmine's like, what? So yeah, random words would come out of my mouth. You know, I would have on maybe a new shirt and, you know, somebody would compliment me and say, oh, that's a nice shirt. Where'd you get it? You know, and I would know that the shirt was new. I would know that really I'd only had it like a week or so and I'd have no idea where I got it. I mean, I couldn't tell you if I bought it, if it was a gift. It was just a complete blank. So those are some examples. Are there any other good examples of what happened to my brain?
No, I think it still works good.
Well, it's working again now. It's been coming back. That's what I was going to say. The last few months, I've noticed it coming back. I've noticed my sharpness returning. You know, all of that is coming back. So whatever happened, it was temporary. I had a friend, Lisa Hansen, who's a nurse. When I first started losing my brain, she told me then she thought it would be temporary. She said she thought it was related to menopause, that it happens to a lot of women at that age and that it would probably come back. And in the last couple of months, I haven't experienced some of the problems, if you want to call them problems. I didn't really see them that way. I laughed at them. But I haven't been experiencing some of those problems that I had before. You know, I can find the right word. I mean, I still have some, you know, minor forgetfulness, but nothing like was happening for a few years there. So what does all that have to do with this? I'll tell you what it has to do with this. Prior to my brain ceasing to work in the way that it always had, I had a fear. And the fear was that what I am is my brain. That was my fear, that what I am is my brain. And when the brain dies, then what I am ceases to be. And so for me, I perceive it as a great advantage that I got to go through a few years of my brain not working. Because that enabled me to see that I was the one that was observing the brain. I was the one that was aware of the brain when it was sharp, you know, good at thinking, like a calculator can be good at calculating. And I was the one that observed the brain when it began to have strong misfires, not retrieving information in the way that it used to. And then in the last few weeks or a few months when it's been starting to get sharp again, I get to observe that. And so what this really helped me to see is that I am not the brain. I observe the brain. I'm before the brain. And you know, we can all do that with the body as well. We can watch the body age. This year I got to watch a wrist break and heal. We can watch the body feel cold or feel warm, or we can watch the body be sick or be healthy. But if we pay really close attention, then what we come to see is we are that which is somehow before, because we get to watch all of these other things, the brain, the body, and even our thoughts. We get to watch them shift and change, and yet we're constant. And you know, we all know we're constant. One thing I love about that is, although we may not have been talking about it prior to some realizations that we've all had in the last several years, we may not have been talking about the fact that we're constant. But somehow that was like an intuitive, unthought about knowledge. You know, we knew that I am the one that is like a 3-year-old toddler. And we knew that I am the one that's, you know, a third grader learning division. And I am the one who's now 20 years old and, you know, doing whatever you did when you were 20. For me, lots of partying going on. You know, at some level, we saw these changes occurring, and yet there was this intuitiveness that I was always here. That just wasn't thought about. That wasn't looked at to see what that really meant. And now all that's happening is we're beginning to look at that and see what that really means. And we're becoming more aware that we are changeless even while all of this changing seems to happen. But even though we're becoming more aware, at the same time, we always knew it. This isn't new knowledge. This is intuitive. This is natural. What does happen is that we get distracted by the changing. There's a function of awareness called attention. And attention is really made up of awareness, but to me, attention is more like a flashlight beam, where awareness is very general. Like, I can be aware of the clock ticking in the background. I can be aware of, you know, the printer on my left side and my altar on my right side without really paying attention to them. This general awareness is there. But attention is like a flashlight beam of awareness that goes into something, and if it goes into it deep enough, it completely absorbs us, where we then become unaware of the other things that we are actually aware of, which sounds kind of crazy, but that's what happens. And the primary thing that attracts the flashlight beam of attention are our thoughts. And our thoughts tell the story of who we are and what's right in our world and what's wrong in our world and what we need in our world in order to be happy, what we need to hold on to, what needs to change, what we need to control, manipulate. And when our attention goes deeply into these thoughts so that we're not aware of the other things that we are aware of, one of the things we kind of temporarily lose awareness of is who we really are. What we really are, that changeless reality, that changeless awareness. We lose track of our inherent knowledge of that when we get caught up in the flashlight beam of attention on thoughts, on story, on changing nature. That if we kind of relax our attention, when you relax attention, attention kind of falls back into general awareness. It's kind of nice. You can really just relax your attention, not pay attention to anything. And people call that becoming aware, which is kind of funny because you actually are always aware. But people call that becoming aware because as your attention is relaxed and it just comes back into the general awareness, then you start to become aware of things that you were already aware of but had lost track of being aware of, right? And one of the things that you become aware of is that you are this changeless awareness. You relax attention. And awareness of what you are returns. It's amazing. I think this is one of the reasons people say it takes like energy to get angry or to be jealous or to be envious or any of those types of things or to hold a grievance. Because in order for us to have those types of experiences, somehow we have to pull a lot of awareness particles. I'm going to use the word particles just as a symbol here. We have to pull a lot of awareness particles into the flashlight beam, and then we have to project the flashlight beam into our thoughts and concentrate. Although we're not aware that we're concentrating, we concentrate our attention there, and then we can listen to a story long enough to get angry or to get jealous or to get envious or whatever. You know, there's actually work involved in that, getting lost in thought. And when we relax, just relax, just breathe, as I was telling a friend earlier today, that we're not holding that flashlight beam of awareness particles anymore. It comes back, it relaxes into general awareness. And everything gets let go. Any grievance falls away. Any jealousy, envy falls away. Remembrance of what we are returns. Just in the relaxing. So what Nisargadatta is really telling us is that he lives in the state of relaxation. He doesn't concentrate his beam of awareness on thought anymore. He stays in that general openness. He says, I know myself as I am in reality. I am neither the body, nor the mind, nor the mental faculties. I am beyond all these. And when you're relaxed, and your awareness settles just into general awareness, people call it becoming aware. And you become aware of the clock ticking. You become aware of the silence in the room. You become aware of the feeling of your feet on the ground or relaxed on a footstool. Become aware of whether your belly feels full of food or hungry. Become aware maybe of the open heart chakra and you notice this openness that's in the chest. You become aware of the ghost in the bathroom upstairs. Maybe it's my daughter Jasmine, huh? Become aware of strange things that go thump upstairs. When that happens, you intuitively know that you are awareness. And you can just be. For some people, this is a spiritual practice. And the reason it's a spiritual practice is because that habit of creating this flashlight beam of awareness and projecting it into thought has become an addiction. And so we have to practice what is natural in order to break the addiction. And so relaxing becomes a practice. People have to learn how to relax again. But when you are relaxed, you know what you are and you don't need to name it. Although you're aware of a body, you don't see yourself as the body. That takes thinking. That takes a flashlight beam. Although you may be aware of thoughts, you don't think you are those thoughts. Just like you're aware of the ticking of the clock or the dog snoring or the fly buzzing, and you don't think you're those things. You are literally the awareness in which these things appear. By being relaxed instead of a flashlight beam, you feel this. I just opened my eyes and I see Cosmic Dreamer has said, I am aware I need to get my external speakers as your voice is a bit low. Be right back. I guess she went to get those external speakers. And I see Barb said, can you say that again? I don't know what I said because my eyes were closed. Thank God for recordings, right? You got it, okay. The key here, and I'll repeat this, I do know the key that's coming. The key here is that in order to get lost into thought, and in order to have this experience of I'm a person, in order to have all of those emotional experiences of I am a person, the belief in the story, all of that, we have to focus awareness into a flashlight beam and project it into thought, and that's effort. And if we relax, no effort, the flashlight beam dissipates and the awareness becomes general. And we realize ourselves as that general awareness. Sometimes that's called impersonal. For me, general is a better description. Because impersonal, you know, has the opposite of personal. General is to me a very good description. It's general awareness. So again, Nisargadatta was saying, I know myself as I am in reality. I am neither the body, nor the mind, nor the mental faculties. I am beyond all these. I'm just reading Cosmic Dreamer's comment again and giggling at that. But let me go back to my journal and let's read from the journal one more time now that we've had this little discussion about the flashlight beam. What am I? Am I this body? Am I limited to the little life it lives between birth and death? Do I mature and grow old? Or am I that which is present without maturing and without growing old? So in order to believe the first three lines, that I am the body, that I am the little life, that I am the person who matures and grows old, I need a flashlight beam. When I relax, when there's no effort, I know myself as the general awareness that does not age. It is well, that is not localized, that cannot be grasped. As the brain ages and begins to fail, do I age and begin to fail? And certainly there are people who believe that, you know, when they see their brains beginning to not work the way it used to, they believe something is happening to me. But in order to think that, I have to have a flashlight beam. If I am relaxed in general, I see there's no change. As the brain ages and begins to fail, do I age and begin to fail? Or am I constant, observing the change in brain without thought about it? And that's the truth of what we are. Even that which has thoughts about the brain. that's just thoughts. In order to get caught up in those, we need a flashlight beam. But when we're general awareness, relaxed, there's not even a thought in what I am. There may be thoughts in the mind, we may see them, but there's not a thought in what I am about the brain failing or improving. The general awareness has no thoughts. It just is. The thoughts come and go within it. Speaking comes and goes within it. All action comes and goes within it. It remains the relaxed general awareness. Am I whatever thoughts are present now? Thousands of thoughts come and go each day. Can I find myself in anything as fleeting as thoughts? Well, that's obviously insane to think that we could be a thought when a thought comes in. I mean, you know, I don't remember my thoughts from yesterday, but if I could, they would be different than the ones I had today, I assure you. How could I find myself in a thought? And certainly my thoughts from 5 years ago are very different than my thoughts today. 20 years ago, very, very different than the thoughts today. So how could I think that I am my thoughts? That's crazy. That's crazy. It doesn't even make sense if you look at it with any wisdom at all. But that's what the flashlight beam does. It tricks us into thinking we're those thoughts. It hides the wisdom that there's no way we could be something so fleeting. But when we relax and we're the general awareness, we know. We see the thoughts come. We see the thoughts go. There's no idea that I am the thought. What is not the body and yet is I? What is not the thoughts and yet is I? What is beyond any faculty of brain and yet is present as I? Ignore everything that is not this, always present I. I mentioned a moment ago that when the flashlight beam happens, you don't notice things that you are aware of. For example, you might not notice the background noise of an air conditioner or a heater if you're focused on thoughts. But when you relax and you become more general and you then notice your awareness of the air conditioner or the heater, you also know that you were always aware of that. It's just the flashlight beam was directing attention away from what you were aware of. That's just amazing to me that that's what happens. So if I ignore everything that is not this always present I, this awareness, which is the I that is not called I by thought, if I'm not deceived by the body, by the thoughts, or the brain functions, if I stay relaxed, which is also to stay focused on the always present I, which is beyond all the changes and all that is temporary. This is called abiding as self. Staying as self. Aware of myself as awareness. Instead of seeing myself projected into thought and thinking I am the thought. I remember one time I thought I heard Muji say something like, somehow the self projects itself into thought and thinks it is the thought. Well, that's what it is. The self is awareness. And when the self, you know, contracts itself into a beam of flashlight, and then projects itself into thought, the self thinks it is the thoughts. And that's just because the awareness that we are is so directed in that moment. And again, that's not any different. I mean, that's not any different than, you know, when we lose ourselves in a movie, right? It's not any different. It's the same phenomena. So again, all we need to do is relax, not contract our awareness into a flashlight beam, but keep it relaxed in a general awareness. So all we have to do is relax. Stay relaxed as general awareness. All right, I'm going to go to the next quote. So I'm scrolling down and clicking on number 598. And I'm going to read the Nisargadatta quote that is 598 in the Seven Steps to Awakening. He says, "It is the I am the body idea that is so calamitous. It blinds you completely to your real nature. Even for a moment, do not think that you are the body." He says, even for a moment, do not think that you are the body. And again, we've now talked about how that appearance of thinking that I am the body happens. Right? The thoughts show up, and we contract awareness, project it into the thoughts, and then we think we're thinking them. That's pretty amazing if you look at that. We think we're thinking the thoughts because we've taken our awareness, contracted it, and projected it into them, just like we project our attention into a movie. And so if he says, even for a moment, do not think that you are the body, what he's really saying is, stay relaxed, stay the general awareness. And of course, any thought about the body that comes into awareness will still come into awareness. But if we don't contract and project our attention into that thought, it just goes right on. So, you know, we may see this little parade of thoughts. This morning we read A Course in Miracles workbook for students, lesson number 10, and it talked about looking at your thoughts as if they were some kind of a bizarre parade. You know, this bizarre parade of thoughts may still come in and out of awareness, just like my heater is going in and off and my clock is ticking, and sometimes my dog is snoring and sometimes my dog is not snoring. But if I'm not creating a flashlight beam and projecting my attention into it, it's just something that just kind of happens in a very non-attached way. Like I'm not attached to the clicking of the clock or to whether the heater's on or off now. So you can be aware of something without being attached to it. And when he says, even for a moment, do not think that you are the body, he's asking us not to become attached to those thoughts when those thoughts appear in awareness. Let those thoughts be as benign as the ticking of the clock. As the thumping around upstairs of Jasmine. Right? Let's go ahead and look at my journal. Number 598. Seeing one's self as a separate and distinct person is the primary reason for listening to mind. The mind promises to take care of, protect, promote the person. So the one who thinks I am a person listens to mind. The mind is an illusion-producing mechanism. To listen to mind is to remain deluded. Notice I am a person thoughts. They are inherent in most of the thoughts of mind. Notice how ingrained this idea has become. And realize it is the key idea that keeps one addicted to thought. Be willing to lose interest in the idea, I am a person. So we've talked about how we contract our awareness into this flashlight beam of attention and project it into thought. And now we're hearing, why? We're hearing why. It's because we believe this idea, I am a person. What Nisargadatta is calling I am a body, we've believed this idea. And now the mind is talking to us, saying, you know, I know how to make people like you. I know which people are bad because they don't like you, so we should stay away from them. I know what you need to be safe. I know what you need to be happy. I know how to get it. You know, I know who to hate because they're in the way of you getting it. You know, and because I think I am a person, I'm so interested in all this stuff because you know what? If I'm a person, all this stuff matters. It's important, you know, it's important to me. And so what the journal is recommending then is that we let go of the I am the person idea. But what's really interesting is how it's telling us to let go of it. A lot of people don't think of letting go as this, which is being recommended. It's saying let go by noticing. And when you notice, do you know what state you are in? Are you in the state of contracted attention? Absorbed in the thought? No. When you're in the state of contracted attention, absorbed in the thought, you're totally believing the thought, but you're not noticing it, right? So in order to notice a thought, you have to relax into your general awareness. It's a relaxed state of being. This is why a lot of people practice meditation. because, of course, they need to practice the relaxed state of being because they're addicted to being the flashlight. So you practice the relaxed state of being. And then when the thoughts show up talking about the person, you notice. Notice is different than believe. You stay general instead of becoming a flashlight. You see? You stay general. And when you stay general, the reason that is also called letting go is because the thought comes into awareness, but because you didn't grab onto it with your flashlight of attention, it just goes on. It leaves. So what the journal entry is recommending is in order to let go of the belief I am a person, which keeps me totally engaged in the mind, start noticing the words, noticing the thoughts that in one way or another are telling me I'm a person. So it's really asking me to stay general, to abide as myself. That's what it's asking me to do, stay general. Sometimes that's called impersonal. Seeing oneself as a separate and distinct person is the primary reason for listening to mind. The mind promises to take care of, to protect, and to promote the person. So the one who thinks I am a person listens to mind. The mind is an illusion-producing mechanism. To listen to mind is to remain deluded. Notice, I am a person thoughts. They are inherent in most of the thoughts of mind. Notice how ingrained this idea has become. And realize it is the key idea that keeps one addicted to thought. Be willing to lose interest in the idea, I am a person. Stay general and notice. That's how you let go. So let's go on to 599. Or in this case, 599A. First, let me read this is a long one. No wonder there's a 599A. Whenever we see the little letters after the number, it means I contemplated it in parts rather than all at once. And when I see how long this quote is, I now realize why I contemplated it in parts. So here's the quote. This is still Nisargadatta Maharaj. When the mind is kept away from its preoccupations, it becomes quiet. And by the way, we've just discussed how the mind is kept away. It's just by being relaxed instead of contracted, right? When the mind is kept away from its preoccupations, it becomes quiet. If you do not disturb this quiet and stay in it, you find that it is permeated with a light and a love you have never known. And yet you recognize it at once as your own nature. Once you have passed through this experience, you will never be the same man again. The unruly mind may break its peace and obliterate its vision, but it is bound to return, provided the effort is sustained. And now we've talked about what the effort is. The effort is learning to relax. And the reason we have to effort to learn to relax is because it's become a habit to be contracted, right? Contracted attention has become the habit. And so it takes a bit of effort to learn to relax. It's effort to fall back into effortlessness for a time. Once you have passed through this experience, you will never be the same man again. The unruly mind may break its peace and obliterate its vision, but it is bound to return provided the effort is sustained. Until the day when all bonds are broken, delusions and attachments end, and life becomes supremely concentrated in the present, which is the generalness. You know, he's using the word concentrated, but actually it's the general state, the natural state. A questioner asks, what difference does it make? And Nisargadatta answers, the mind is no more. There is only love in action. All right, so let's look at the journal. 599A says, the mind spins because attention is given to it. And we've now talked about how we give attention, right? Contracting awareness into a flashlight beam and projecting it into the thoughts. The mind spins because attention is given to it. Attention is like food to the mind. It will never die if it is continually fed. To know mind-free, illusion-free reality, stop feeding mind. Consciously take time and put effort toward attention away from mind. And now we've talked about again how you do that, the relaxing. Like I said, I was talking to a friend today and I was telling her to breathe. You know, consciously breathe. When you consciously breathe, you relax and you pull that flashlight attention back in and your awareness becomes more general. The mind spins because attention is given to it. Attention is like food to the mind. It will never die if it is continually fed. To know mind-free, illusion-free reality, stop feeding the mind. Consciously take time and put effort toward attention away from mind. General relaxing. General awareness. No flashlight beam. Just being. Just being. And this is why often, when people are teaching meditation, sometimes there's all different ways to teach meditation. I see. Cosmic asked a question, but Lynn answered, so we're all set. This is why some of the ways that people teach meditation, one is to be aware of sounds, for example. You know, people will sometimes teach to close your eyes and sit still, but then listen. You know, listen, hear the clock ticking, hear the dog snoring. And what it's really teaching you is to be that general awareness instead of the flashlight beam, to be that relaxed, general awareness. Lynn's asking, what other times am I on? Really just this time now. I used to be on Wednesday mornings, but that's going to be ending soon. So Sunday nights will be my only primary teaching time for the foreseeable future. One more time, 599A. The mind spins because attention is given to it. Attention is like food to the mind. It will never die if it is continually fed. To know mind-free, illusion-free reality, stop feeding mind. Consciously take time and put effort toward attention away from mind. General attention. All right, I'm going to click on 599B, which is continue contemplation of the same quote. Self is known when mind is quiet. Self is not known when mind is active. To know only self, completely delusion-free, stay with attention away from mind as much as possible. Let mind grow weak and die. Become comfortable with self as I, in this case, general awareness as I. abide as self, away from the idea I am a person. In pure abidance, mind's attraction disintegrates. Complete disintegration of mind and attraction to mind is complete and permanent freedom in self. So again, now what we've seen is that awareness contracted into a flashlight beam of attention, projected into thought, that's what we call believing. So we now kind of understand the mechanics, if you will, of believing. And then we know also the mechanics of noticing, which is not believing. And we know that that's the relaxed general awareness, not having the flashlight beam, settling back. And we also know that that will take effort in the beginning because we're addicted to the flashlight beam. We're addicted to that attention. So it takes effort to learn the effortless abidance as general awareness, right? We know all of that. Bye, Cosmic. It's been nice sharing with you tonight. So what this is saying, the second thing that we learned, so that's one thing we know. We know those mechanics now of the flashlight beam and the general awareness. The second thing we learned tonight was that the flashlight beam on thought is what revs up the mind and keeps it going. The more attention I give to mind, the more thoughts there are. You know, it's like, I've talked about this many, many times, it's like winding up a wind-up toy. And I know every one of you have noticed that. I know that you know that if like a worry thought comes into the mind, like, oh my gosh, am I going to have enough money to pay the bills this month? And if you contract your flashlight beam on that thought, there's going to be a lot more thoughts following that story, right? But I think probably everyone here also knows that if you don't contract your flashlight beam on a thought, if you don't have interest in a thought, if you remain general, it just passes on by and doesn't actually develop into a story because you didn't give it the attention. You didn't feed it. So now what this quote is saying is if we withhold our attention by remaining general, the mind itself will die. First, you may experience a slowdown. And then it just dies because how can it live without awareness? How can it appear to live without awareness, I should say? Because awareness is life. You see, mind doesn't have a life of its own. Thoughts don't have a life of their own. But they kind of borrow life from us when we contract into that flashlight beam and project our awareness, project our life into them. Do you see how we do that? We hold them up. And if we learn to relax and to be general, we aren't holding them up. They eventually just fall, die, disappear, cease to be, because they don't have a life of their own. So what this journal entry 599B is asking us to do is it's asking us to stay with attention away from mind, which means stay as general awareness as much as possible. And this is why I love the Buddhism class. Right now I have three classes of MPP participants going through the Buddhism class. And one of the things that the Buddhism class, or Buddhism period, not just our Buddhism class, one of the things that Buddhism is great at emphasizing is a practice called mindfulness. Mindfulness is learning to be generally aware. In the beginning, you're taking the flashlight beam and you're projecting it. Actually, not as tight a beam. You know, when your flashlight beam gets lost in thought, that's a very tight beam of attention. So what mindfulness is doing is it's learning to take that attention, to loosen it a little, and instead maybe focus on what you're eating and pay attention to the taste, pay attention to the smells, pay attention to the texture, or focus on your walking and pay attention to the feet as they touch the ground. Pay attention to the breathing in your chest. Pay attention to the sounds of nature. What you're learning through mindfulness is you're learning to go from this addicted, constricted flashlight beam to a more general awareness that is not lost in thought. Yeah, being present, Barb calls it. So I love that practice of Buddhism called mindfulness. And I think that mindfulness is a wonderful thing to practice. And what's great about it is you can practice it at any time. At any time that you notice that you've become lost in thought again, that your attention has become contracted and projected into thought, as soon as you notice, you can relax somewhat and instead become aware of what you're doing, whether it's your job, dishes, showering, brushing teeth, even watching a television commercial is better than being lost in thought during the television commercial. Right, all of that is more general. So what 599B is asking us to do is to stay with attention away from mind, and mindfulness is a practice that helps us do that because it teaches us to start relaxing and generalizing our attention into the awareness that it really is. And it says, as we do this, the mind will grow weak and die, and we will become comfortable with the general awareness, so the addiction gets broken. And then we can abide as the general awareness, which does not have the idea, I am a person. I am a person is a thought. We need our flashlight beam projected into that thought in order for us to believe that. In the general awareness, it isn't present. This is what 599B is calling pure abidance. And in this pure abidance, which is this general, relaxed general awareness, that attraction or that addiction to mind disintegrates. And as it disintegrates, we quit feeding mind with our attention. And eventually mind itself dies. And then that results in, of course, permanent freedom as general awareness, as ourself. Imagine that. What we really have to do is learn to relax our awareness instead of being contracted. That doesn't sound too bad, does it? So 599B says, self is known when mind is quiet. Self is not known when mind is active. And of course, what this really means is when we're absorbed in that active mind. To know only self, completely delusion-free, stay with attention away from mind as much as possible. Let mind grow weak and die. Become comfortable with self as I, or general awareness as I. Abide as self, away from the idea I am a person. Stay with general awareness. Do not let the flashlight go on the I am a person stories. In pure abidance, mind's attraction disintegrates. Complete disintegration of mind and attraction to mind is, so complete disintegration of mind and complete disintegration of attraction to mind is complete and permanent freedom in self. So that is the end of today's seven steps teaching. I just want to write down where I ended. All right. And what we're going to have next is a member meeting, but I like to have a little transition. So what I'm going to do is open up my iTunes, and I will play a song as a transition. This is a U2 song. Some of you may know it because I think we all got this album for free. If you are on iTunes, we all have this album now. This one is called The Miracle of Joey Ramone. Here we go. Oh, the album, by the way, is called Songs of Innocence. Let's listen to this, and then we'll have our member meeting. Oh.
near. To be somewhere near your voice was all I heard. I was shaking from a storm in me. All to my perspectives that we had to see. Yeah, I wanted to be the melody for the noise from the hurt. I was young, not dumb, just wishing to be blinded by you, brand new, and we were pilgrims on our way. I woke up at the moment when the miracle occurred, and the song that made some sense out of the world. Everything I ever lost now has been returned. The most beautiful sound I ever heard. Religion so I can love and hate. Music so I can exaggerate my pain. Give it a name, I was young, not dumb, just wishing to be blinded by you, brand new, and we were pilgrims on our way. I woke up at the moment when the miracle occurred. And the song that made some sense out of the world. Everything I ever lost now has been reserved. The most beautiful sound I ever heard.
The most beautiful sound I'd ever heard.